Thank you, Joe. Oh, goodness. John said he thought he's going to weep this morning. And I'll be darned if I wasn't like man crying up on the front row. Oh, I wrote in my journal this morning. It's been like a month since I stood up for you and actually preached any more than like a devotion or prayer time. And I wrote this morning in my journal that I'm scared. I'm so thrilled and can't wait. I just went like this. Can't wait, but I'm so scared. I don't know if I can do it. And sitting on the front row is just a reminder of the privilege to magnify Christ from up here to you. But no, it's also a hard thing for most of us that preach the word. It's a lot of responsibility. Now, the next 3 weeks, if you go to our homepage, as John said, or our website, you'll see on our homepage these three things: pursuing Jesus, practicing the way, and living life on mission. That's what we're going to talk about the next 3 weeks. John will start with the pursuing Jesus, what that looks like. And if I know him, he'll have how it looks, how to do it kind of thing. But pursuing Jesus is important because it leads to practicing the way of Jesus, which if you put those two together, the results is we live life on mission. So that's our purpose, our mission statement we'll get onto next week. Hope you can be that, and hope you commit to the next 3 weeks. Now, here's the thing. These three things sound really good, don't they? Pretty cool. Sound good, look good even. There's so many things in life that sounds good, especially, you know, just looks good, and, you know, we kind of have this inside, we know we need to do it, and, you know, that kind of thing. But there's this one powerful word. It's so small, it's only two letters, and it's so powerful, right? And it's the word if. If. And when I'm on a, I'm not going to define if because I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's like I couldn't even understand the word if in the dictionary. It's like a paragraph. It's like, what are they trying to say? But here's what I'm trying to say to you. If, when I'm talking about this whole message, if I do this or that, wherever you go with this in your life, then this will happen, or this may happen, or this likely may happen. If I do this, then this will happen. That's the if I'm talking about. Because the word if, I believe, has the power to change your life. It has the power to change your life. If I do this, then this will happen. I was walking at the health park the other day, the first time I ever walked there, and you go through, it goes around the gym, then it goes around an exercise room that's about twice as big as this auditorium. I'm like, oh my gosh. I went because I just got through eating this white chili chicken, whatever it's called, soup. I didn't eat just one bowl. I added a second bowl. I didn't just handle, you know, a couple handfuls of little soup crackers, but I threw in any extras, you know, and I ate like a hog. So I thought I better go walk. So I'm walking around there thinking that, bloated. Started thinking, you know, if I eat better, then what? I know you've never thought that, have you? And I walked a few more laps, and I saw a guy, probably just a little bit younger than me, and he's on this machine, and he's like laid out flat about this high off the ground. He's doing some kind of crunches. I saw him from the distance, and I started thinking, you know, if I were to exercise like that, do some crunches, and do all these other things for people, if, then what might happen? Then I started thinking, as I kept walking, it's like, for everybody, I'm thinking, you know, what if I sought therapy for trauma I've experienced, then what? What if I made amends with someone that I really needed to, then what? What if I made amends with God and came clean with God, then what? I mean, it's just like, it's endless. You hear what I'm saying, right? With me so far, all right. Here's two true stories. This 21-year-old man smashed his thumb pretty bad, enough to where he went to the hospital, have her x-rayed, make sure it wasn't broken. In comes this young woman, about the same age, 21, they're both about the same age, to do the x-rays. I don't know what all happened, but I know it was enough for him to say, hey, would you like to go out? You know what she said? No, I don't. Okay. So, fast forward 2 weeks. He goes to the McLean County Fair to set up the sound equipment. He's down there just working, and guess who shows up? that girl, I said, no. And she's there with another date. Mm-hmm. Well, she's over there. She looks down there at the stage and notices this guy. I don't know what through her mind, but it was enough for her to say to her date, kind of boyfriend, kind of friend through high school and such. She goes, I'm going to go down there and talk to that guy. I met him a couple weeks ago. Is that okay? He goes, if you do, then we're through. She thought about it. She went down there, talked to him, and they just celebrated their 50th anniversary. If she hadn't gone there, if she does. Lady has two kids, yay and yay. I don't know how old they are exactly. She's about 40, I'd say. For the last 3 to 5 years, her husband's been battling some addiction problems. But I'm gonna say even worse than that, or maybe the result of that, he's verbally abusive. She keeps praying, as she tells me. I keep praying. But she keeps delaying. She's praying, but delaying over and over again. If she stays, what are the long-term consequences on those little ears that see the parents fighting? On her, I mean, the things he calls her, it's just getting in there. If she does, if she doesn't. If. This year, 2022, I'm going to challenge myself and those of you who want to join me to seize the divine moments that God has planned for me. I know he's got plenty of divine encounter moments for me this year, and I believe he does for you. Irvin McManus said, gosh, probably back in 2000, I'll probably butcher what he said. I didn't go look it up or write it down, either one. But it stuck with me about these divine moments. He said, divine moments are small enough to ignore. 2 second, 5 second, 10 minutes. Moments could be any size and time. But they're small enough to ignore, but they're big enough to change your life. So I'm gonna ask a lot of if questions of myself and of God this year. I'm gonna be looking for divine moments and encounters. I'm gonna if it all year long. The Bible has over 1,500 verses with the word if in it. And most of the promises and commands and scriptures basically say this. I'm going to paraphrase. This is general. It's not exact. But I believe when you look at the promises of scripture that have, you know, it's all about this. If we do our part, which in my opinion is basically if we trust and obey the promises and commands, if we trust them and obey them, then God will do his part. If you and I do our part, trust and obey, in this promise or that command, then God says, I will do my part, if and then. For instance, we've already talked about this verse twice, but it's in my notes, so I'm gonna read it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and yes, you'll probably get tired of it, because in February we're gonna eat up that verse. 4 straight weeks. If my people pray and turn to me, then I will hear, forgive, and heal. What if we don't pray? What if we don't turn? If, Jesus says, you forgive others, anybody know the answer to that? Then God will forgive you. Paul says, if God is for us, then who can really be against us? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, then nothing is impossible for you. If you have faith as small as big as a mustard seed. If you hold on to my teaching, Jesus says, then you really, really are my disciple. If you hold on, if you cling to, rely, and believe my teaching, you are my disciple. If you don't, maybe you're not. If you love me, Jesus says, then you will obey what I command. If you love one another, disciples, church, then people will know that you are the disciples if you love one another. What if we don't love one another, church? And then Paul says John says at the end, toward the end of the Bible, if you love one another, then God lives in us. And his love is made complete. Maybe somebody needs to hear this. If you seek me with all your heart, then you will find me. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved, made whole, renewed. If anyone is in Christ, into Christ, then he or she is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. If then, all throughout scriptures, that's just 10 or 12 of them. Story of Joshua in the Promised Land. I hope to give you some encouragement through this story. Let me just kind of catch you up to where we'll be going. But if you remember, if you know the story, the Israelites, the Jews, some people look at it that way, they were taken from Israel and Judah in that area to Egypt, most of them, where for like 400 years they were in slavery and bondage to the Egyptians, building all their infrastructure. They didn't need an infrastructure bill. They had the Jews. They had the Israelites do all the work, you know? So for 400 years this went on, and they cried out to God, and he hears. And then he sends this reluctant deliverer named Moses to lead the Exodus out of Egypt through the Red Sea and into eventually the Promised Land. Well, they get out of Egypt, and they wander for 40 years in what we call the wilderness. And then Moses, he takes the people to the edge of the Promised Land. I think it's Mount Nebo, maybe, on the mountain. And over there, you can see the Jordan River and the Jericho Valley and all that there. And that's where Moses died. Because God said, I'm not going to let you go into the Promised Land because of some disobedience, but I'm going to let you see it, Moses. So that's where he died. And that's when the young leader, Moses' mentee named Joshua, yeah, that's when he officially took over. He was already anointed and appointed by Moses. And you'll see in Joshua 1 through 9, I'm not going to read it all, but basically God tells Joshua things like this. You know, Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. Everywhere you place your feet, you and the Israelites, I'm going to make sure that you conquer and overcome the tribes, the other nations, and you're going to, everywhere you go, every square inch, I'm going to give you that land, this promised land. It's yours. Only know that I'm with you. Do not take the law of Moses and don't go off to the left or the right. Stay focused and all that, and you will be successful. And then verses 6 through 9, like three times, he says, be strong and courageous, Joshua. Be strong, be very strong and courageous. And in verse 9, this is my command, God says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you are strong and courageous, what's that take away? Fear, discouragement, and maybe someone needs to hear that today, that maybe this year, you know, you got to be strong and courageous. You know it, and you got fear, you got discouragement coming at you. Let me encourage you. Be strong and courageous, because if you are, and if you know God is with you, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Then we go chapter 2. Joshua sends out spies. Just check out the situation in Jericho. And then in verse chapter 3, Joshua says, okay, it's time. It's been 3 days, like God said. It's time. We're going to cross over. And here's what he says in chapter 3, verse 5. So Joshua gathers people, and he tells the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord God will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourself. God's going to do amazing things. If it's still true for them, I've got to believe it's still true for us. This is living and active word. If God is alive, right? I think it's still true to us. And when I read this, it's like, if we consecrate ourselves, then we'll see the Lord God do some amazing things in us, through us, and certainly all around us, if we consecrate ourselves. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The Israelites, they did their part. They consecrated themselves. It's some kind of purification thing they did. They set themselves apart to go into this promised land. They did their part, and God did his. God did his part. They crossed the Jordan River on dry land. upstream, it was cut off and it dried out, and they were able to do it. The priest got the Ark of the Covenant, and their job, their only command from Joshua, was to go in and stand in the river and wait. If you stand in the river and wait, then I will deliver you. If then, they had to go stand in the river. I got to thinking, what would I do if it's a similar command? Well, first thing I'd probably do is, John, why don't you grab your Bible and go stand in the river? God's going to do some amazing things. Meanwhile, I'm going to the backup plan. I'm going to call my men's group Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock. Jerry, you're an engineer, basically. You do electrical, you can do any kind of engineering. Start drawing us up a plan. We need a bridge over this Jordan River. It's only like 200 feet apart. Start on that just in case. John, stay in the river. Don Nation back there, you are the most logical thinker I think I know. And you're like Jerry's right-hand man. So you can help Jerry put your heads together. How can we, with our resources, how can we build that bridge as we wait for God to do amazing things? Rick, me, Greg, let's go get up. Let's just be their gophers. Whatever they need, we'll do. Okay? Steve, you go over in the corner. Would you just pray for us, please? Get your list out and start praying. We laugh, but oh, so many times in my life, I get a plan B. I get a promise from God. I feel like he's revealed something to me, but I rush it or I delay it, and I just try to fix it myself. Not the Israelites. They did, and then they crossed through on dry ground, and then they conquered Jericho and all the other cities. And I think the lesson is our role is to let God do for us what only he can do. Let him do his part. You know what our part is? This is the cool thing about obedience. It really relieves the responsibility. You know, if we obey, then the responsibility is where? On his shoulders, if we obey. If we don't obey, we're carrying it all, you know? So anyway, I'm lost. Where'd I go? Oh yeah. Our part is the consecration. The consecration, that scary word. All right, here's what it's not. Consecration is not about church attendance. It's not about doing daily devotions. It's not about keeping the Big Ten or sharing our faith or tithing or saying the sinner's prayer. That's not consecration. It's not about serving or raising hands in worship or going on a mission trip. Consecration is deeper. Consecration may lead to all these things. Out of the outflow of what he does in you, you will probably do those things. Consecration means to be set apart for God, for the Lord. It's setting yourself apart. We have a part in this, okay? And it takes a lot for us to be set apart. By definition, it's full devotion to God. We all probably kind of know what that full devotion is, don't we? If you played on a sports team, you know what it is to be devoted to practice and games and on, or if you've been married, or you have a child, or you know, even a career, a job, there's been times in your life where you're just fully devoted. Well, consecration is being fully devoted to our Creator. Fully devoted. It's where we no longer call the shots. That's consecration. We give him veto power because he is Lord, he is president, he is boss of our lives. He has veto power. It's complete surrender to the lordship of Christ. It's the yielding of our wills to his. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's death to self. It's when we relinquish everything to him, our time, our talents, and oh yes, our treasures. It's all his. That's consecration. It's surrendering all of you to all of him. It's surrendering me to you, if you want to get personal. And let me just say about all this. It's a process. The process of surrendering, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. I believe the process of surrendering is a never-ending battle. get tired of it. I really do. I do. It's hard. It never, never ends. I guess when you look at Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples in Luke 9, he says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, deny herself, take up his cross, her cross, daily and follow me. That's why I think it's a never-ending process. We've got to do this daily. Pick up our life, pick up our mess ups, pick up our crosses. You know, if Jesus gave all, we can give all. I mean, I think he expects what he gave, all our lives. If he hung on the cross, we can carry ours, you think? The next verse, we usually don't read, but whoever loses life for me will save it. That's kind of the key. We're denying ourselves, we're taking up a cross, and just to hear that, you think it's like, man, that's a lot, that's a bummer. But what happens? In all that, as you lose your life, you save it. And that word means you're made whole. You figure life out. You know, you begin to figure who you are. But again, it's a daily, ongoing process. But the truth is, if we deny ourselves daily, if we surrender daily, if we surrender, then amazing things will happen. Amazing will happen. From life change to circumstances working out in a way that you can see God at work, and the list goes on and on. I'm going to leave you with a verse here that I think is really good, that for me, when it comes to consecration and all that, setting yourself apart, full devotion, dethroning self and enthroning Christ, taking off your king hat in your kingdom, giving it to Christ, getting off your king's chair, queen's chair, giving it to Christ, dethroning yourself. To do those things, I love James 4:8. It goes like this. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Probably no truer statement there, that last phrase. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. That sums me up a lot. Divided loyalties, and that's where the consecration, surrendering comes in. So the first if is the first part of that verse. If we come close to God, then what? He will come close to you. So here's my suggestions and encouragement to you. I know John had this for the Psalms, but get yourself a 2022 prayer journal, some kind of little book, okay? This is so important, I think. If you want to come close to God in that daily way, and you want to, I don't know what all this does for you, but if you actually journal things, I mean, gosh, I might write this scripture down and write it in there and just start asking God questions and work through it. Myself and God just kind of work through it. I'll write Carol's name if I need to pray for her in there. It helps me remember who to pray for, because you know, I get this forgetfulness, right? It helps me know who to pray for, and I pray for myself and my family and whoever else. It's just my way to keep focused and be consecrated and surrendered for that day, and I do it in the morning. Not every day I don't, but I should. And I keep track of my life, the trail of answered prayers, prayers that still need to keep going. It's just, you get the picture? It's just such a good tool to get you close to God, because when you're doing things like this, just like with Scripture, you just feel Him come close to you. One suggestion. The other two, or one kind of, if If you sign up for a small group, then what might happen? If you commit to a small group, then will God come close to you? Absolutely. You'll know it. You'll experience. You just will. We got small groups that are going to meet behind here on Sunday mornings. That might be what you want to do. We're going to try to get a couple of home groups going. That may be what you want to do. We got a men's group. We're talking about a women's group. There's opportunities, right? If I sign up and commit to that, then what might? What divine moments might come? And then the other thing, just off the top of my head, is the 28 days. What if I do a prayer journal? What if I get in a small group? What if I do the 28 days, part of my 28-day routine, to read about the identity or whatever section we're on, right? Prayer. Read about that, get the scripture, and apply it to my life. What may happen if I come close to God? Guarantee he'll come close to you. The second part, wash your hands and purify your hearts. I'm leaving out the youth centers because we all know we are. That's a given. Two action steps, though. Of course, they're metaphorical. But you know, with COVID and all the hand washing we do, maybe every morning we just need to wash our hands literally as a symbolism of repentance, of looking back the day before and all the mess ups we did, you know, just washing our hands, consecrate. This is a picture of consecration to me, washing your hands and purifying your hearts. Just getting right with God. Rearranging priorities, dethroning self, getting our loyalties and priorities straight. That's what you do when you wash your hands and purify your hearts. It's like a daily reboot. If you do that, then there's no telling what God will do. What kind of amazing things. That's about all I got. Here's one thing I started doing when I got on this consecration. I love saying that, consecration. Got on that kick probably 2 years ago, and we did that All In series. I guess I got it from Mark Batterson. And I read somewhere, I think it's him that does this, I've kind of mentioned it before, but I started doing it. But if you really want to be consecrated, here's what you do, if capable. You may not be able to, Diane, but you can come up with another avenue. First thing I do now is I roll out of bed. I actually got my house shoes where my knees is. I'm getting so good at my knees laying right on my house shoes. Roll out of bed because I got to. It's the only way I can get out of bed. Whoosh! Onto my knees. And all I do, all I say, Lord God, you're my master. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. Consecrate myself unto you today. That's all I do. And then if I know I have something coming up, I might pray for it. Sometimes I literally pray for divine appointments to stop and talk. I simply roll out of bed and start my day in that position, dethroning Todd, enthroning God. Let's pray together. Father, we all know in our hearts that we don't always live for you. Our loyalties to the world wins out. Our loyalty to self wins out. But God, a lot of us know that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And that as we lose our life, we actually find it. So Father, I pray for each person here that they will have the courage and just the conviction maybe to jump in that process of never-ending surrender, daily surrender to you. It leads to the good life. It leads to the faithful life because, God, you are so good and so faithful to us. You change things. You change us when we do. So, Father, may we wash our hands. May we have pure hearts. May we reboot every morning knowing your mercies are new every morning. And I pray for divine appointments for so many people in this room this year, that the promises you've been praying for, the hopes that you have, that they will come to be. And as you surrender, doing your part, God is going to do your part, his part. So, Father, we just love you and we need you. And we finish worshiping you, just singing about your goodness and your faithfulness. We do this as we stand together and we say together, Amen. Amen.